Hello, I'm Jesse Walls from Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church. We're a church seeking to make disciple-making disciples of Jesus. Thank you to Life FM for continuing to host us. Today, as we think about how the big picture of the Bible impacts our lives, our reading is Colossians chapter 2, verses 8 to 15. So you can begin looking that up now. And while you're getting that ready, I'll pray, asking God to bless us as we read and consider his word. I'll read the passage, and then it'll be over to Beck with the children's talk. So, if you have children, make sure they're listening. Then, it'll be back to me for the sermon. Let's pray. Our Lord, you are light, and your word gives light. As we think about the deep things, the promises you've made, and the assurances you've given, give us peace. Give us understanding. Give us wisdom by the power of your Spirit. By your word, which is truth, take away wrong thinking. Shape us how you want us. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And now let's read Colossians chapter 2, verses 8 to 15. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him, who is the head of all rule and authority. In him also you were circumcised, with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, by cancelling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. And now it's over to Beck with the children's talk.
Hello everybody, it's Beck Walls here from Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church, and I'm here with two of my kids, Kai and Ellie. Say hi guys!
Hi!
Now, what have I got here in this bowl?
Water.
Water. That's exactly right. Now, why is water so good?
Because it helps us live.
It helps plants to grow.
It helps it us get
helps
washed.
Animals to live as well as humans.
Yep. We're going to talk particularly about washing today. Okay? Because when we are born, our lives look a bit like this dirty plate, covered in sauce. It's messy and dirty because we are part of Adam's family. And because we're part of Adam's family, that makes us all dirty, rotten sinners. None of us can be friends with God because we're so dirty with sin. All right, now that's pretty awful, isn't it? That's absolutely every one of us. We are all covered in sin.
Yes.
But the good news is that in baptism, you've heard that word before?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Baptism.
In baptism, God makes a promise to us. He promises that just like this water can wash away all of this sauce and make this plate all clean again, God promises when we're baptized that if we put our faith and trust in Jesus, that he will wash us clean from our sin so that we can be friends with him again. So in baptism, we remember the promise that God makes with us. We remember that God promises to wash us clean from our sin if we put our faith in Jesus. Now, guys, is it the water that washes away our sin?
No.
No.
Is it baptism that makes us clean and right with God?
No.
No.
No, that's right. This is just a sign from God that if we put our faith in Jesus, then he will wash away our sin. What an amazing promise, hey?
Yes.
Fantastic. Right, we're going to say a prayer. Pray with me, guys. Heavenly Father, thank you that you sent Jesus to live a perfect life. Thank you that he died on the cross to save us from our sins. Father, thank you that you've given us the sign of baptism and that you have promised to wash us clean from our sins if we put our faith in Jesus. Please help us to do that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I have an interesting history with baptism. I've been baptized twice. Some of you might think I was baptized as a baby and again as a believer, but actually, both my baptisms were believer's baptism. My first baptism was when I was in primary school. I was a genuine believer. I can't remember what preparation they gave me, but I was surprised when I got there that they expected me to give a testimony. I didn't have anything prepared, but they baptized me anyway. Fast forward towards the end of high school, and I felt like I was a completely different person. I was part of another church. I felt more mature in my faith, and I wanted to express that. So I went to the leaders of my Baptist church and asked to get baptized. I don't think they knew I'd already been baptized. Even if they did, they might not have seen any problem in doing it again. Was there a problem in getting baptized again? Some will say, of course not. Because for many, baptism is an expression of faith. It's saying, I'm a believer. And if you feel like a different person, or you want to reaffirm your faith, or if you return to faith, you can get rebaptized. Tell the world again that you believe in Jesus. Others will say there is a problem with getting baptized twice. Baptism is a one-time deal. You don't keep doing this special ceremony any time you feel like it. You testify to your faith once in that way, and that's it. But I want to challenge both of those answers, because they both misunderstand something central. They misunderstand what baptism is and does. Both those answers say that baptism is about the believer showing their believers in Jesus. But I want to suggest that's not the main purpose of baptism. I hope you'll keep listening and try to understand why I think differently, even if you don't agree with me. Because the main purpose of baptism is more significant than that. In baptism, the main person speaking isn't us. It's God. God seals his promises in baptism. That's our main point today. God seals his promises in baptism. We'll look at three headings to show that from the Bible. First, we'll see the promise of signs. Second, we'll see the promise of baptism. Third, we'll see the people of promise. Baptism is God's declaration, and it's a comforting message. God seals his promises in baptism. Let's explore the history of covenant signs in the Bible. Our first heading is the promise of signs. Let's look at the first clear sign that God provided for his covenant, the rainbow. Remember Genesis 9:12, this is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. And he promised not to send another flood to destroy the world. Notice, God gave the sign. Why? To remind God, verse 15, and his people of God's covenant promise, to comfort everyone who saw it. As the rain comes, people can look to the rainbow and remember the promise. Imagine the first time it rained after the flood. Would you be nervous, edging your way to the ark on top of the mountain? But then the rain stops, and you see the rainbow. God kept his promise. God gave a covenant sign to remind and comfort. The sign calls us to faith in the God who gave it. Let's turn to Genesis 17. Here God gives another covenant sign. Verse 11, you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. Circumcision was a sign of the promises God had made. The promise of land, nation, God's presence and blessing. That those who trusted God would be saved from sin. And again, the sign was to assure his people of his promise. In chapter 15, Abraham had been shown the stars, believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. But since then, he's doubted. In one of our kids' Bibles, there's a great picture of this heartbreaking time. Sarah's sitting next to an empty bassinet. There's a knitted onesie and cardigan on the grass. And she's knitting a pair of booties. But her face is sad. After all these years of waiting and believing, all they have is an empty bassinet and baby clothes that have never been worn. He'd tried to fix the problem with Hagar, but that's not how God would keep his promise. Now, whenever Abraham engaged in that activity that produces children, he'd be reminded that God will keep his promises. In Romans 4:11, Paul says Abraham received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith. In Genesis 15, we're told he believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. And in chapter 17, God gives a sign and seal of that righteousness. It's a symbol of the promise, and it's God's confirmation of the promise. Circumcision didn't make him righteous, but Abraham can see the sign and seal of that promise. It's always with him. By faith, he's righteous. This is the promise of signs. Signs are God speaking to us through visuals for our comfort and hope, confirming what he said with words. But what about baptism? The main point I hope you'll remember from this sermon is that God seals his promises in baptism. What promises? That's our second heading, the promise of baptism. Baptism promises what circumcision promised. Circumcision was a sign and seal of Abraham's righteousness through faith. Look at Colossians 2:11-12, and the link between circumcision and baptism. In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised him from the dead. He says to the Colossian Christians, you were circumcised. Not physically. Circumcision was always meant to have a spiritual element. Physical circumcision alone meant nothing. They were also to be circumcised in the heart. Believing in God, living for him and putting off sin. And that's what the Christians experience. Spiritual circumcision. How? By the circumcision of Christ. Not when Mary and Joseph brought him to the temple when he was 8 days old, but when Jesus was cut off, killed for his people. Ultimately, circumcision was pointing the people forward to Jesus. Blood was shed pointing to Jesus, whose blood was shed to purchase righteousness. But how do we get that righteousness? We'd normally say, by faith. But Paul makes us uncomfortable. Look at Colossians 2, verse 12. Having been buried with him in baptism, we're circumcised in the heart, joined to the death of Christ by baptism. Have you ever waved to someone down the street only to realise later it wasn't the person you thought it was? Isn't that embarrassing? Especially if they're walking towards you and you have to pass them. You give an awkward smile and quickly shuffle off. That's probably pretty rare for you to do, but it'd be even rarer now that we're all wearing masks. I've been more careful than normal. Even when I was pretty sure it was someone I knew, I'd sometimes walk past, trying not to stare to see if I did know them, because that'd be awkward too. But let's stare at these words, because they're not what we expected. I thought Paul would say we're spiritually circumcised through Christ's death by faith. But he says it's through baptism. Why? Paul's not saying we're saved by baptism, but he's doing what God did in Genesis 17, verse 10. There, God said his covenant was circumcision. Then, in the next verse, he said it was the sign of the covenant. The sign and the covenant are so closely linked that you can speak of the sign as if you're speaking of the covenant. Like circumcision was the entrance into Abraham's covenant, baptism is the entrance into the new covenant. Paul's using baptism as a blanket statement, capturing everything about the covenant it's a sign of. Circumcision pointed people forward to what Christ would do, shed his blood so they could be righteous. Baptism points back to what Christ has done. Circumcision involves blood, anticipating the cross. Baptism involves water, symbolizing that his blood washes us clean of sin when we believe. What's the promise God makes in baptism? That those who believe in Christ are united to him, to his death and resurrection, that those who believe are washed clean of sin, made righteous. For thousands of years, the people were taught by circumcision. God was proclaiming the gospel. Baptism now replaces circumcision as the sign of the covenant of grace. Its main purpose isn't for us to proclaim our faith. It's God proclaiming the covenant blessings, giving a sign and seal of them for our assurance. God seals his promises in baptism. In covenant signs, God reminds of and guarantees the promises to those who receive them. The promise of baptism is that all who believe in Jesus receive righteousness, life, cleansing, the Holy Spirit, and union with Jesus. But who should receive the sign of baptism? That's our third heading, the people of promise. Remember, in the New Covenant, God didn't completely tear down the house. The house was renovated, but it had the same bones. So who received the sign of past covenants? The covenant was made with Noah, but his whole family got the covenant sign. Even wicked Ham got the covenant sign. What about circumcision? Colossians links circumcision and baptism, saying both point to salvation for those who believe. Circumcision acted like a school for 2,000 years. Between Abraham and Jesus, circumcision was teaching God's people. Have you ever tried to show your child or grandchild how to do their maths homework? To show them step by step how to get the answer they need? When suddenly they tell you, that's not how they're supposed to do it. You were taught one method, but you need to do it a completely different way now. There's an amusing scene in the movie Incredibles 2, where the dad has to do exactly that. His son says, We're not supposed to do it like that. The dad gets upset, looks at the textbook and says, they've changed math. How can they change math? Math is math. What happened with circumcision? Genesis 17:12. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised. Every male throughout your generations, whether born in your house or bought with your money from any foreigner who is not of your offspring, both he who is born in your house and he who is bought with your money shall surely be circumcised. In other words, all males under Abraham's authority in his house are to be circumcised. Children and servants. God consistently works through families and households. Circumcision's a sign of Abraham's righteousness by faith, and that sign is passed on to everyone he has authority over. Even his kids, who can't express faith yet, get the sign. Both Ishmael and Isaac got the sign. Through the sign, God promised that faith would be counted as righteousness. Circumcision didn't save or produce faith. It promised the reward for faith. And those who were to receive the sign were those in the covenant community, the family of Abraham. As young Father Jonathan listened to Peter's sermon at Pentecost, and he was convicted about Christ, convinced he really is the risen Lord, he heard Peter say, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, and for your children, and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." Wouldn't he have heard how similar that was to the command to Abraham? Circumcision was for all born in his house and all foreigners who became part of his house. After thousands of years of doing it one way, would we expect God to change without a word? Math is math, and the sign of the covenant is given to believers and their children. It was with Abraham, and it should be the same with us. If you were baptized as a child, your baptism is genuine. God was placing his sign of promise on you, calling you to faith. Baptism doesn't guarantee faith, but it promises the reward of faith. It promises forgiveness and righteousness to all who believe. You don't need to be baptized again. Children of believers, like the children of Abraham, are entitled to the covenant sign of baptism, to have the water applied to them, promising cleansing from sin if they believe. And new converts should receive the sign. And while their baptism will involve them declaring they are believers, that won't be its main purpose. The main purpose will be God declaring what he's done for them. It'll be a sign of the righteousness they have by faith. I know one sermon isn't likely to convince anyone to change their mind on baptism. But if you're not convinced, I hope you'll think more about it. Ask questions. And don't let your disagreement about this stop you being a member. You don't need to agree with baptism to be a member of a Presbyterian church. Don't let baptism put you off. At the very least, I hope you understand why we do it, and why we don't. It's not to guarantee salvation. It's God's gospel promise to those who believe. You might have wondered why we've been going through the covenants these last few months. It's because when we understand the Bible's big storyline, and all those puzzle pieces are put into place, it makes a glorious picture. It has real, practical implications about what we believe. If we understand the covenantal story of the Bible, that impacts our view on modern-day Israel, on God's election, on baptism, and more. It reshapes the way you read the Bible and how you understand the Christian life. Some Christians don't see much point to baptism. They don't think they need it. But God thinks we need it. God seals his promises in baptism. God shows grace by giving baptism. We need to treasure the fact that baptism isn't us getting the blowhorn and telling everyone we believe. It's God lovingly giving us a sign and seal of his promise. And if you're not a Christian, God's proclaiming that promise to you now. Trust in Jesus, find forgiveness, and then receive the sign yourself. Baptism is better than we thought. How much better is it that in baptism God speaks, not us? What great comfort baptism brings, the promise that when we believe, our sins are washed away. What a kind God to seal his promises in baptism. Let's pray. Our God, how thankful we are for the sign and seal of baptism. Thank you that in it you speak. You give assurance of your grace and forgiveness in Christ to all who believe. May our hope never be in our baptism, but may baptism always point us to Jesus and his work on the cross. Give us comfort in times of doubt, peace in times of hardship, and joy always as we remember the sign and seal placed on us who believe. Our God, if there are any listening who haven't believed in the promise of forgiveness of sins through Christ's death, give faith, we pray. Forgive them through his blood and grant them everlasting life. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm Jesse Walls from Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church, and I pray you've been blessed as you've spent this time in God's Word. We're so happy that under the current regulations we are able to meet. Our Sunday service is at 10 a.m. If you're interested in joining us next Sunday, then you are more than welcome. At this stage, you don't even need to book a seat. If you're not a Christian, but you're curious to know more about Jesus, the church, what Christians believe, then at 4 p.m. we're hosting Grill a Christian. Each week, a Christian will share why they're a Christian, or about a belief that Christians have, or they'll address one of those big questions of life. And after that, you'll be free to ask questions in a relaxed environment. Grill a Christian is at 4 p.m. at Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church, 75A Victoria Street. You can contact us through Facebook, Instagram, or our website if you'd like. And as always, if you'd like to make a comment on what you've heard today, you have a question, or you're looking for a church, then please get in contact with us. Our website is eaglehawkpc.org.au. God bless you.